Well, what a beautiful day this is. I want to say to you this morning, He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
All right, try it one more time. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen.
Can we do one and stand?
Okay. We can do it any way you like. All right, if you would turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. And of course, we want to talk this morning about the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus. And what a day that really is. You know, a lot of people don't understand the significance of the Savior rising. You know, there's no other religion that their Lord, Savior, and God rose from the dead, much less even gave His life for the people. Amen? All of the other gods, all of the other ones that people worship, false religions you call, whatever, their gods are all dead. But ours, He's risen. And He's alive today. And so I want to just share with you really what that means to us. I think it's important to understand what it means for our Savior to be alive today and not in a grave like all the others. So it's important to realize that. So the resurrection of Jesus represents the victory over sin, death, and the grave. It holds profound implications for believers, shaping our understanding of salvation, our hope, and with it, eternal life. So let's read 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Father, we thank You this morning for Your great miracles and blessings and love that You shed to the world, that You sent Your Son to die on Calvary's cross for our sins. And as He took all of them on Himself and then died with them, He buried them forever, setting us free from all the guilt and the shame as we received Jesus and the work that He's done. But Lord, You didn't allow Him to stay in the grave. He died, but He rose in 3 days. And He's alive today. And as Him that we worship and that we serve, it's Him that we depend upon, and it's Him that gives us eternal life and saves us from our sins. Thank You, Father. Thank You. And we praise Your name for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So, through the resurrection and what Jesus did for us, we receive victory over sin and death. So the resurrection signifies that Jesus conquered sin and death. By raising from the dead, He demonstrated His power over the grave and provided a way for humanity to be reconciled to God. Now, I think that's really special. That gives us hope. You know, everybody... You know, if the Lord doesn't, or if the Lord tarries from coming back and taking us up in the rapture, we're all going to die. All of us face it. It's going to happen. But see, those that don't know Jesus are very frightened about that thought. But folks, as a Christian, as a believer, as knowing what Jesus did and what his resurrection meant and his suffering for us, what it did in our lives, and all we have to do to receive that is simply to believe and receive. And you see, anymore, I'm not afraid of death. I'm not going to, you know, if there was a bus going to heaven right now, I probably wouldn't get on it. You know, I'd like to stick around a little bit longer. But when it does happen, you know, I'm not afraid of it. I'm actually looking forward to it in a way. Sounds strange, but, you know, at the age that I'm in at now, most all of my friends are gone. They're all gone. A lot of them way younger than me. They're already gone. So it's like there's fewer and fewer people that I know or that I grew up with. It's just new acquaintances. And that's good, but it's not quite the same sometimes. So you get a little homesick. And so I get a little homesick for heaven, to be with my Lord, to see a lot of relatives and friends that, you know, that had already gone on before. And I know there's a lot of sadness when we lose a loved one, because we're going to miss them. But folks, if they know Jesus, and you know Jesus, you're going to see him again. What an exciting time that's going to be when they meet you at the gate. And they say, welcome. Let me show you around. Let me show you around. And then Jesus meets you. Well, it's really an exciting time. By rising from the dead, of course, Jesus demonstrated all of his power over the grave and provided a way of humanity to reconcile to God. 1 Corinthians 15 says this. 1 Corinthians 15, 55 through 57. This is in the Amplified. It says, O death, where is your victory? See, it used to have a victory over us, but not anymore. So it says, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin by which it brings death is the law. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin. So it brings death. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory as conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ. And in Romans 6:23, you know, it says, the wages of sin is death. See, that's why sin had such power over us. And the Lord gave the law to show us how wrong we were, how bad we were, how much we needed him. And we needed his grace and his salvation. Folks, it was impossible for people to keep the whole law. Just as it is today to be impossible, it's impossible for you to be good enough. So many of us are going to church and we're trying to be good, and nothing wrong with that. But folks, you can't rely on that for your salvation, for what Jesus did to conquer the grave for us, to set us free from all sin and condemnation. We can't earn it. We can't be good enough. We can try, but we can't be good enough in it. Romans 6:23 says this. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That death that I believe the Lord is talking about is, number one, when we die, we leave this body behind. But the worst of it is that we're separated from God. Can you imagine that, being separated from God? You know, in hell, there's no light because God is light. So everything that God provides, and love and peace and satisfaction and hope and joy and love and all of it, none of that is in hell. Even the breath we breathe is given by the Lord. And in hell, they say they have to fight for breath. They struggle just to get a little breath. There's no moisture, no water. It's all blessings from God. All of that is taken away. And see, that death is horrible. But we don't have to die and suffer that because of what Jesus did for us. So I thank the Lord for all that he did and provides for us. And then he says in Romans 3:23, he says, all of us have sinned and all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. So there's no hope without Jesus. No hope. And that's why Jesus rose from the grave, just for us, to give us hope, a life, a satisfaction, a place in heaven with him. What a glorious time that will be. So his resurrection and alive today gives assurance and provides hope for believers who have lost loved ones, affirming that they will be reunited in the resurrection. So the new life in Christ, the resurrection signifies the beginning of new life. Through faith in Christ, we are spiritually resurrected, transformed, and abiding. And it also enables us to live in accordance with God's will. Romans 6:24, Paul states this. He said, we were therefore buried with him through the baptism into death. So, you know, that's why a lot of churches and all should do this, is that when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and surrender to him, it's important for us to be baptized. And what the baptism does, it doesn't save you. Let me tell you, there's a lot of people that get baptized that don't have the Lord. They think they do, but they don't. And what happens to them in baptism is they just get wet. And that's so sad. I know of a lot of good people. They try hard. They do good. They try to love and do it all in the flesh as best that they can. And they think they're okay. They think they're saved. And yet they're not. And what in the end results for them, if they don't realize it and change, is hell. It's all there. So that's why I think it's really important to know him. Romans 6:4 says this. We were buried with him through the baptism unto death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And this new life empowers believers to walk in righteousness and even reflect God's character. But you know, it's when you talk about believe, we can ask people, do you believe? Oh yeah, I believe, man, I'm saved. And it's like, well, okay. But maybe what we should be asking is, have you been born again? You know, it says that the devils believe and tremble. And let me, you know where they're going, right? Maybe we ought to look and understand, have we been born again? See, that's a crucial point. You can believe a lot of things. You know, like it used to be, you could believe you're a dog or a cat or something else. But it doesn't make you that. It's just fruitless, stupid believing. And that's how sometimes it is with us when we're just trying by works. See, by the law, we take in the law. In fact, I was doing a class once, and this lady asked me, she was big with in the Jewish traditions and all of that. And she asked me, says, well, yeah, we're in the grace age now, but she said, can't I also live by the law? And the word says that if you live by the law, you're cursed. And I said, wouldn't you much rather live by the grace and the power of God that he puts on you rather than you trying to do something? See, most people are hung up in good works. I was talking to my grandson once, you know, and he mentioned this about his mom and dad. He said, you do know my mom and dad used to drink pretty heavy at night together. And I said, well, no, I didn't know that. And he said they never went to church. I said, well, I know that. But see, we prayed for them, and God started to work in them. Now, my daughter was already saved, but her husband wasn't. And so she was kind of drawn away into his path, because sometimes people need extra encouragement to walk with the Lord. And that's why when a husband and wife are saved, they can encourage one another. Do you ever notice that with your spouse, where you're weak, that usually they're strong? And then it turns around the other way. So we're there to encourage and build and give hope to one another of how we can do and stand with the Lord. But see, now, my daughter lost her husband last year. She has, if you don't know, Dakota, her son. He's 22 now, I believe. He's in Colorado going to school. He's Bible school. And he starts all these different kind of ministries. Well, right now he's doing a homeless ministry. And it's going real well. He takes bottles of water, food, different things. They just passed out 110 hot dogs last weekend or last week sometime. And ran out. They've got well over, I think now, from what I understand, 200 or better of the homeless. So here's Dakota, just showing you how sometimes the Lord works and what he does when we're born again. Not just believers, but born again. The guy that he's been dealing with, Richard, the Lord appeared, well, the Lord talked to him one night. Now, he didn't say what the Lord said, but it shook him. And he says, I hope you don't think I'm crazy. Because he called me and he wanted to talk to me from down there, right on the street. And it was neat to see the change that was in him just from the Lord speaking to him. So now what he's doing is he's got, I think, four people that he's sharing Jesus with them. Now, he went to Pentecostal church before and different churches, so he knows a little bit about the Lord, but wasn't saved. He's a believer, but he wasn't saved. Had not been born again. Well, the Lord speaking to him changed all of that. And now he's mentoring four other homeless people. And he's wanting to join in and is with Dakota in being able to feed the people and to help them. So he said he wants to get five more to be part of the group. And they're working on that. So Dakota asked him, said, Richard, how about you being my right-hand man when I go back to Michigan to home and work? Because he's got to earn enough money so he can support himself down there through the winter. He's going back to school. And Richard said, I won't do that unless you do something for me. And he says, What's that? He said, I want you to come and spend a night with me at the homeless, with the homeless, a whole day, day and night, on live on the streets with me. He says, I'll protect you. But he said, I want you to come and do that. So Dakota called me and asked me, I said, Dakota, when I was there the other week handing out stuff with you, that's the very thought that I got, except it was for me. Of course, then my wife and my daughter were there, and they said, yeah, you can't even get up when you sit down, hardly. You know, and you're going to go homeless? You like to sit in an easy chair and take it easy, and you're going to go sit on a rock, you know, on the street in the sun? And so they're making fun of me, you know. And I said, well, you're probably right, but at least I had that thought because I wanted to know where they're coming from, what they feel, what happens in their life, how I could better minister. I wanted their heart, their understanding, what they thought about. And I think that's important to know if you're going to minister to somebody. So he did it. He went, spent the night, last night or night before? Yeah, he just got home yesterday. And they were in the homeless shelter at first. And, hello? God's calling us, folks. He's calling us, so listen up. But anyway, he got home last night. And Richard called me then, I think it was yesterday, that he and I talked. And he says, man, he says, the first 3 hours Dakota experienced like a whole week of what it's like to be homeless. One of the young ladies there OD'd. Ambulance came, carried her out. There was bad drugs going around. They had 4 other people that week that had died from bad drugs. See, these people, this is Satan's den, and it's just evil. And you wonder what people think or why they don't want the Lord and dear, because they're in the enemy's camp, and they don't realize that. But the enemy's working on them. They have no hope. They feel no love. When Dakota and them, he said he wanted to go to, they went to town to get something, and then they stopped at a gas station to use the restroom. And he said the people there didn't even want to let them in. He said they treat you like trash, like you're dirt, you're worthless. And if you just fell over dead, they'd just kick you out of the way, is all they would do. And he felt that, and it hurt him. He said, I've seen it before, but he said, I didn't realize how it is and what it feels like when it happens to you. And so he spent his week, and now he's working. Well, anyway, that week, the week before, I guess the Saturday before that, it was a Saturday, when they passed out all the hot dogs and different things, they were talking and thinking about getting a trailer and fixing it up. And they decided, nah, a trailer won't work because there's really no place to really park it. And nobody really knows how to back a trailer that well. So they didn't want to hurt anybody or tear something up. So my daughter thought, we need a van. Well, she called home and she talked to the dealer that usually helps her with cars, and she goes through cars. And the dealer knew that she did homeless. That was her ministry. She says, I need a van. And he says, I know exactly what you need. He said, what do you want to spend? She says, my max is $30,000. And she told him about what she wanted, and he says, no, that's not what you want. I know what you want. So he called down at some auctions and made a bid first at, they said for the van they wanted, the minimum bid was $29,500. So he went and bid 26 or 27,000. Now this is a 2022 with less than 30,000 miles on it. And it's been gutted. I don't know what the people used it for, but in great shape. And so they called this guy back and said, we won't accept your bid on that. And he says, all right, then I'll bid 29.5. And they took that bid, but they always call you back a few days later because other people are going to be bidding on this. Well, he called Holly and said, Holly, this van that we're bidding on is worth $40,000 to $45,000. He said, I don't see any way that we're going to get it for 29.5. Can I go higher? And she said, nope, that's my limit. If God wants me to have it, I'll have it. Well, the next day he called her back, said, we bought it, 29.5. Folks, I'm just trying to tell you how God works. You hear God and you determine to walk with him and serve him. He will open doors. He will make things happen. Miracles will happen. People will be touched, healed. As Richard is, this is the first one that they've made. Holly, you know, rather than a lot of times in ministry, we just want to do the minimal amount of what, well, you know, let's not buy all them hot dogs. Let's get half, you know, and maybe make them a peanut butter sandwich or something. But no, they go all out. And then, well, the trailer won't work. I'm going to buy a van. Nothing's going to slow us down. And so they're determined. We're serving God. Folks, just do you see what happens when God moves on a heart? He set us free from sin. He's raised from the dead, and he raises us from being kind of, sometimes I see a lot of dead Christians. You know, I've been Christian a long time. It's time for me to slow up. You know, when you get old, you feel like you need to retire a little bit. Let the younger ones do all the work. Well, then it seems like all the work stops. Nobody does anything because a lot of young people, all they want to do is play games on their iPhones or whatever. But see, what they need is they need mom and dad and the older people maybe to inspire them and to lead them and to work with them and to help them where they're at. Folks, I'm going to tell you, you'd be surprised what young people do today. And they do good things. And God's going to use them in a very mighty way. But he needs us to come alongside, to love on them, to encourage them. So it's important to be born again, not just believing. I'm almost done. Hopefully I'm not boring you guys, but afterwards we'll have a resurrection service and raise y'all from the dead. How's that? You know, when we walk with the Lord, the Holy Spirit works in us and through us. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says this. It says, but the... I should have brought some water up here. But the Spirit produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. This is the fruits of the Spirit. Folks, what you have when you're born again is you have the Holy Spirit inspiring you, working in you, giving you these gifts, leading you on, protecting you. So we have a Savior who raises us from the dead, gives us hope and a new life to where we can be born again, set free from sin and guilt. And then the Holy Spirit comes along and empowers us with the things that we need. See, what my kids have is not fake love. You can fake it. They don't have fake love. They're all out. they're going to serve the Lord, and it's not easy to go spend the night. Anybody want to go with me? We'll go down there and we'll spend one night on the street, one day and night, 24-hour period. Dakota emptied his pockets, everything, put on old clothes, everything. Had people drive him down and said, don't pick me up till tomorrow, 5 o'clock. He was stuck. He was there. But folks, what extent will you go to really serve God? On your own, not very far. But when you fall in love with the lover, that is Jesus and the Holy Spirit that comes to reside, it's like you do anything for your spouse, you do anything for your children. You don't have a limit, do you? Well, that's the way it should be with the Lord, because that's a way he is with us. I'm so glad he doesn't limit his blessing on, oh, nope, I did 3 prayers for you already this week. That's my limit. Don't do any more praying until maybe next week this time. And then keep them short, some simple ones. How would you like that? But you can go to him anytime with any issue, as often as you need, and he's there for you. Just like you want other people, friends, people that you know, you want them to be there for you, because there's going to be times that you'll probably need them. And that's the way my wife and I want to be here with all of you, because the Lord sent us here to minister. And so I'm going to do all that I can, all that the Lord leads me. I don't have a limit. Folks, sometimes we may have to look at our limits to see where we're at. There's so much I wanted to share with you, but time is my enemy. It goes too fast. So in conclusion, let's go to the conclusion. The resurrection of Jesus Christ signifies victory over sin and death. It assures believers of their own resurrection. It offers new life, provides hope in trials. Folks, we don't have to give up on anything. We just need to learn how to pray and trust God and let him work things out for us, instead of us always trying to make things happen. You get tired of that? I get so tired of that. As God, you're God, I'm in your way. I turn it over to you because I know you care. Learn, if I'm going to tell you, if Jesus didn't raise for anyone else, he would have raised for you, because he died for you. That whosoever would, whosoever. That's the way we are ministering to the homeless. So many of them don't want to hear. And they'll tell you, nope, don't want to hear. You want prayer? Nope, don't want prayer. Just give me a hot dog, let me go. I'll take a couple of waters and give me some of that too. And so they just take, just like a lot of us do from God. We just take. Not that we're hungry for more. Folks, I'm hungry. I'm hungry for God. You know, it's one thing I never get satisfied in, or I pray that I never get satisfied in, is my hunger for the Lord. And all that he gives me and supplies for me, folks, it's like I always want, Lord, I want more of you. I want more of you. That way I can be more of what you call me to be. And that's what we've learned all the way, all the way. I'm not giving up. I don't quit. I'm not running. I'm going all the way. And my prayer is that we will all do that as well. So when we get hope in trials, he empowers love within us. You know, there's a lot of people really hard to live, to love rather. I know it's a lot of people hard to love. But you just almost grit your teeth and do it anyway because that's what the Lord wants you to do. Lord, give me, and then I pray, Lord, give me love for them. I want true love. I don't want to just fake it. In fact, love is one thing you can't really fake, folks. Can't fake it. It's either real or it's unworthy and no good. And people sense it. I've had people after I did, I know it was a terrible message. And they would say, good job. And they would walk away. And I'm like, you lie, you go to hell. You know? I could tell. So as Christians, we are called to live in the light of the resurrection, embracing the new life we have in Christ and sharing the hope of the gospel with others. And I just want to pronounce this blessing over you if I could. Romans 15:13 says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Pray with me if you would. Father, thank you for this time. Father, thank you for your church and your people, those who know you, and even those, Lord, that are not sure. I ask you, Holy Spirit, that you would minister to them. Let the hope of your understanding grow in them, that they not only believe, but Lord, that they receive. And they experience the rebirth, being born again in you, with fire, with your giftings. And Father, I do thank you for it. On this wonderful day, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Thank you, Father. We love you. We praise you in it. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks.